heard this in my spirit. I said, Marty, get ready for it. So, para corosete. Well, who? It just came right there. Mahale itola. For many of you that are here, and some of you that are here, and some that are watching and listening, this is a curtain call. The necessity for you to stand against the wiles of the devil are present tense. For there's a choice set before you, says the Spirit of grace. For if you choose that, you'll find yourself overcoming, and overcoming will bring forth more overcoming until you'll come into a perfect light. And things of healing and things of deliverance will come on, and that invitation is to you. But know this, says the Spirit of grace, and as I prophesy absolutely, if you do not heed these things, that your end will be in darkness, in continual darkness, and your life will grow further and further apart from light and the integrity that light brings to a life of deliverance and hope and happiness, says the Spirit of grace. So embrace the light and embrace the things of truth and the things that bring truth, says the Spirit of grace. And you'll find that I'll come alongside of you, and as a father nurtures a daughter, as a husband who truly loves his wife, will come and give her everything she needs to promote her life into grace and glory. Know this, that I will not forsake you, but I'll cause you to prosper and be healed, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if he'll even go to where he has me. My greatest desire in these days is more than ever before is opening up my heart to do anything that he wants. Studying probably more than ever. Praying probably more than ever. Fasting probably more than ever. And yet, just unplugging and plugging and disabling myself from saying any agenda. Lord, you're just wide open to say what and do whatever you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to probably, at least for a big part of you, oh man. I'm just going to... Marriages are at stake, both here and there, through the camera, says the Spirit of grace. Marriages, I could say it three times, are at stake. Marriages are at stake. Here's a triplicate. Four. Marriages are at stake, says the Spirit of grace. If these things are not heeded to and held in great regards, not as a man speaking, but as God speaking and the Word speaking, divorces are scheduled. Mahale edididia do kliesketa what, sir? Excuse me, sir. Yes. Balachare didikadala. Children are at stake. Children will be damaged. Mehalosote. Do not ikatofreske. Do not believe the report of the world through lying bloggers and psychologists that say children get past these things. The only children that ever get past divorce and separation are the ones that are healed by my Spirit. But separations are inseparable in destroying psychologically and emotionally children, says the Spirit of the Lord. This is why I hate divorce, says the Spirit of grace. Because it destroys not only the nuclei of the family, it will destroy the children, says the Spirit of grace. There is no way to keep that from happening. Separation will cause it. Maharosete. Mahirese kirote deha, mehitiato freste. Now, now is the time to heed these things and rejoice in knowing that you've heard them. You can also obey them, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he loves us that much? Hallelujah. Jesus. I don't like destruction. He doesn't like destruction. He can see it 6 months or 3 months or 2 years in advance and just beg people not to do it. Hallelujah. Well, demons coupled with flesh cause destruction. But I know how to cut off demons, don't you? And we also have a formula to cut off flesh. It's called praying in the Holy Ghost, seeking God, fasting. Hallelujah. Fasting's the gas. You got to stand with me this morning on this one. Some, you know, if you need to rest, it's okay. But Marty started. I got to hear this because we got to stand in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's worth fighting for. Looking forward to seeing Jim and Kathy starting Wednesday. I think I told you Gary's going to be back in April. Candy said you need to say on streaming. She said you'd hate for somebody to fly down here waiting to see Gary. And he's not physically going to be here, but he'll be here through our streaming services. Okay? Hallelujah. But he will be here physically for me. You know, that's how real it is. I was driving home last night and Candy said, well, do you know what you and the Holy Spirit are doing? I said, no, he does, but I don't. And as many times I'll know days in advance, but I didn't know yesterday. And I didn't know last night when I went to bed. And I didn't know when I went to sleep. And I didn't know in the middle of the night. But as soon as the alarm went off at 5 a.m., and I came from that world, dream world, into this world, and my eyes were opened, as soon as I opened my eyes and woke up, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me directly, humble yourself. What a greeting. Good morning, Holy Spirit. So I've got a clue, like, okay, and maybe he just wants me to share his heart on humbling ourselves. Continuation, we were there Wednesday night. We had a reminder page. You know, we have reminders. I put reminders all around me. I've got a desktop. I've got, you know, the phone that I use, and I put all my calendar in there, and you can do pop-ups when it gets close, and then you know you've got a notepad, and it'll tell you, and then I've got a binder calendar. But your phone, you know, will tell you, and I'll say, remind me next Tuesday at 2:00. I've got such and such, and it'll pop up, and it'll Siri will tell me. So Wednesday was a reminder page for us to continue to humble ourselves. And how important that is. And this morning, I woke up to that, went to the restroom, went and got that first cup of coffee, and sat down in that dimly lit office of mine that is very prepared for the Holy Spirit to speak. And as soon as I sat down and took my first sip of coffee, and you're wondering, you know, What am I going to share today? And then as soon as I take my first sip, he says again, humble yourself. So is it very hard for, you know, an individual that should be acclimated to understanding the mind of Christ after 40 years of ministry, and you ask the Holy Spirit, show me what you want to say, is if he says that two times in a morning, it should be hard to understand what he wants you to say? No, it's not. Last Sunday, we had a service where it was really, really wonderful. We shared about the DNA of not only the general DNA of the born-again spirit, but we also shared our particular genetic family DNA and how that we are so very close in what our vision is and how that we are locked together in an incredible vision and a call and ministry together to go forward in what God has asked us to do. We have to be very knit to our DNA. And I listen to preachers, and I appreciate a lot of different preachers. And I found that there's quite a few of us, but not as many as what people would think. But I can tell if a minister if a group is in my DNA family. And I know everybody that's born again is in my DNA general family, but I'm talking about my DNA particular family. And those are the ones that I have to covet with and go forward with to fulfill my call. We had a song we were playing that Harry was playing that said something about bowing the knee. And I had a vision, an internal vision, about us all coming forward and humbling ourselves in the bowing of that knee. And then after service, Amber shared with me that she, even before I said that, had a vision. Amber, why don't you come? I can't remember all the particulars of that, but it goes along with what we're sharing this morning. And just share it and how the Lord spoke to you even before I had ever even said anything. Oh, I've got the light on, so I think it's ready.
Hello.
This is my eldest daughter, Amber Siegel, okay?
Good morning, family.
Is it on? Okay, good.
Last week before worship really got, I had just gotten here and the presence hit, boom. And it happens sometimes, but sometimes it's overwhelming. And last week was overwhelming for me, and I'm sure everybody else felt it as well. But I am hardwired to whatever I see or whatever I do. And even sometimes the Holy Spirit says, step out, say you need to say this, but I don't. And that was, I was a little bit disobedient last week. So everybody's not. But I was scared, and so I thought, I'll share it with Dad after. And so as soon as church was over, we were out on the lanai, and I told him it's very short. And he didn't even tell me that he was going to have me share this morning, so I'm kind of on the whim here. But last week, as worship was rolling out, I just closed my eyes, started worshiping, and I'll just try to tell you what I saw. I knew that Jesus just walked through the back of the church. And what I could see is everybody just down on their knees, crying, and they were either facing the altar, but everybody was on their knees. And Jesus walked in, and he was in a good mood. But, God talks to you in whatever you're familiar with. So for me, he walked in, he had a big old slosh bucket in his hand, and he just went through the crowd. And whoever was ready, he just stuck his hand right through their bodies and just started washing their hearts. And as he washed their hearts, it was like dirt or scales were kind of falling off their eyes. And to 99.9% of the church world, none of what was coming off people would have been considered sin. But for us, it was borderline stuff. And I'll tell you what mine was, and I knew right as I saw him come up and wash me, mine was, I got to turn the TV off a little more. And I don't watch nothing that's even remotely considered bad, but I might be watching it too much, and that's time that he wants. So it was just like, and I don't know if any of you experienced this week having a moment where God said, let's just tune that up a little bit. Let me just show you where you can spend a little bit more time with me. Let me just show you where you can turn the TV off, or where you don't have to look at those plans right now, or where you don't have to figure this out. And that was all it was. But as the week went on, he started sharing more with me. And I know a lot of you, but a lot of you don't know me super well. But I think I'm full of great ideas. I think, man, I could, if I hadn't married Mike and not gone in, I could have done so many cool things. And that's what I think, you know. And this week I thought, God, you know, we could do this at church and we could do that at church. And I thought, but you know what? It's humbling yourself is... you get at the feet of the Father and you say, you know what? I don't care what great ideas I have. And I don't care if all I ever do is sit in this room and pray. And I said, God, I said these words. I said, God, being a revivalist is kind of lonely. I said, it's great. What we're doing is great. I said, but we don't get together a lot. We don't got no real children's ministry. We don't have this. We don't have that. And I'm not saying those ministries are bad. I send my kids out because I think young people need young adults and different things. They need that. But, and I'm not trying to say we're better than anybody else either, because, and what I'm going to say might sound kind of mean, but this is what he said to me. So I didn't say it. He said it. I said, God, it's kind of lonely. And he said, Amber, Navy SEALs and Green Berets do not get together and throw parties. They get together and they discuss a mission. And I was like, oh, okay. And if we never have a program, it's okay. And if all we ever do is sit in the room, it's okay, because somebody's got to do it. And if you just take that moment, and maybe there's a little pride, but you say, that's me. I'm the one that gets that opportunity to do that. Then you're just fulfilled, and it don't matter if you ever have another good idea, and you don't tell nobody about a good idea, and nobody ever knows what you do, because he does. Yes. That's it.
Well, we can go home now, so. Wow, I didn't hear half of that last Sunday. The full birthing of revival rests here. It all rests here in this humbling, submitting, yielding process. The full weight of revival. What does that mean? To us, it means the four pillars. What is the four pillars? Prayer, primarily praying in tongues. Fasting, as Glad shared. Worship, meditation of the Word, staying in the presence of God. And I said something Wednesday night. I hope it's not misconstrued. All I can say is, as a pastor, I can't tell you how much I love and weep over you. I pray for you individually by name. And sometimes that takes a while. But I will always have mercy. Always. I mean, if you need something, even if you've not engaged. But I'll tell you the honest truth. And I wouldn't be anything but honest at any time, not just here. I don't feel sorry for you. I will always have compassion. But if you've heard this message and you won't do it, the epitome, you might not think so because you may be having a nervous breakdown and saying, I'm falling apart here. Scotty, we're breaking up. You may think you're breaking up and that somebody needs to have just weep over you. But if you won't do this, knowing and not doing is the epitome of pride. And I have no other solution except the ones, and I know this works. I know it works. And if you say I've done it and it doesn't work, I'm sorry, brother, sister, you're lying. You didn't even give it an old college university try. You may have tipped it and said, okay, I'll do this a couple times or a week or two or three days. But if you know this and don't do it and you fall apart, I'm not sorry. I don't, nothing inside of me goes, oh God, I hurt so bad for him. I don't hurt for you. I hurt knowing that you self-destructed. Bowing the knees. Let's talk about bowing the knees of your heart, because sometimes we talk about bowing the knee, and we're going to read a scripture about bowing the knee. And I'm not talking about, and he's not even talking about the physical, you know, bowing the knee. He's talking about the bow, because you can bow the knee and still never bow the knee. And sometimes people physically can't, until they're healed, bow the knee. So that's all, don't even think of it in the physical terms. You can bow the knees of your heart, but you can also, you can bend the knees in pride, and you can weep in pride. I've seen men and women just weep and weep and weep, and yet they never hit pay dirt. They never went to the place where that pride was like flushed out of them. You can make humble statements, decrees, or confessions. But until you do it enough or begin to join in with it in your heart, you're never bending the knee. Now, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. It'll be good for you to look at it. You say, I have that memorized. Well, look at it with me. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 14. And this Paul says this, for this cause I bow. Everybody say bow. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in what? Love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Listen now, just, you'll have to listen unless you have the Amplified readily available, but it's good to just listen. The Amplified is a more extended version of the Greek. It amplifies the Greek. So it's a good rendition. I know I use it a lot. Gary uses it a lot. I said, Jim, can we trust the Amplified? It said it's good. He said it's good. You can trust it. For this cause, seeing the greatest of his plans by which you're built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I bow my knees. See, this is the message. To the message, we bow our knees, our heart, the knees of our heart. We bow the knees of our heart in humbling ourselves to this message. What message? For whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that the Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love, on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp all with all saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That's revival. May have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Now to him who by the consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, indefinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Amen. So be it. Let me talk about the meat and the might, the meat and the might, the meat and the might of Ephesians, the meat and the might of Ephesians. We're not talking about the salad. We're talking about the meat. We're not talking about the salad dressing. We're talking about the meat. And I want to remind you something, because you've heard me teach several times on the book of Ephesians, that remember that every stroke of the brush in the first 5.5 chapters of Ephesians is in preparation to present you as an equipped soldier to storm the beaches of the kingdom of darkness. Now let me reiterate, let me expound just for a moment. For those of you that have not heard so much before in the past, our line-on-line teaching on Ephesians, the first 5.5 chapters are the equipping of the saints. It leads you up to one finalizing verse with the word finally in it, and it's chapter 6, verse 10. And it's the word finally, and it's not a salutation like I'm writing this at the end, like I finally said everything I want to say. It's much more than that. It's a dictation of the conclusion of all thoughts combined. I've brought you up to this place to where I can finally present you into the position of everything that all of this other 5 chapters has equipped you to be. In other words, you're finally equipped. You've gone through boot camp, basic training, all of everything that you need to do and be. Now you can finally do, and we will read what finally is, but the finally is this: you're finally equipped to square your spiritual shoulders back and address principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness. There's at least, and I didn't say that it was an exhaustive, there is at least 41 different things in the first 5.5 chapters that tell you, you must do this and you must not do this. You must stop. And he's writing to the church. It's amazing. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. Somebody said he's writing to the world. No, he's writing to the church. You got to stop fornicating. You got to stop lying. You got to stop stealing. And that stealing was in connotation is like, don't be a lazy man and expect somebody else to support you when you're physically able. Don't lie to one another. And a whole bunch of stuff that we're just about to get into I don't want to give it away. We'll get there. But a whole bunch of stuff, like 41 different things that sound like, I don't want to really, that's really cool. That's great. But let's go on to revival, spiritual warfare, and pulling down principalities and just taking a dominion over a city and like, seeing thousands of people born again and like baptizing people in the parking lot and arms growing out and legs and all the chilly things that some drop the mic preachers say. And he goes, wait a minute, we'll get there. But you're not even ready to say good morning to a devil until you've at least looked at and really thought carefully about how mortified And how consequential has the Holy Spirit been allowed to come and address all of these issues in the first 5.5 chapters? The first 5.5 chapters, I'm hoping I'm saying it simple enough, are preparing you for the last chapter to be a spiritual warrior. And if you drop, if you say, I don't want none, you know, that does, it's all Christian. The first 5.5 chapters are Christian character and your devotion to those. And whether or not you, so he gets to a place where he goes to finally, since we've addressed all this, here's where you're at. Here's your graduation certificate, or here's your, you're ready to go forward. I'll read this again because I think it's important. Remember that every stroke of the brush, doctrinally speaking, in verse, you'd say verse, in the first 5.5 chapters of Ephesians is in preparation to present you as an equipped soldier to storm the beaches of the kingdom of darkness. You know, if I said Normandy, World War II, May of, what was it? 44? Or was it 40? I think the war ended in 45. Was it 40? Anyway, I'm thinking of something else. I mean, I've got my mind someplace else. But when we, the invasion D-Day, when we went into Normandy, France, and it was all of the Allied forces, they don't teach that enough in school nowadays that most kids won't even know what I'm talking about. But the modern-day rendition that most, you know, kids or young adults would understand is Saving Private Ryan. Okay, that movie. So everybody good in here on temperature? Don't let me put anybody to sleep, and especially don't let me get hot. Okay. 44. It was in 44. So when they invaded in 44, you saw that was probably as close, Saving Private Ryan was as probably close as to a reality. If you've ever watched that, it's hard to watch, but it's so real. But those landing crafts that they hit those beaches with, and those guys were being, as soon as those doors swung open, they were just being mown down by the hundreds and thousands. 50 caliber machine guns. I've shot 50 calibers a couple different times. It's a man's gun. I mean, you don't want to shoot them but two or three times in a row, and then you're like, I'm good. And it was just one shell just completely take your arm or leg completely off. That's not a, it's a bullet about like this, and it's incredible. And there were just millions of them, just these rounds going in. And these landing crafts were opening up, and they were storming the beaches. And let me say it this way in the spirit realm, so we have that picture. The landing crafts of war that take a nation for revival, those landing crafts bring an atmosphere of change to a region. And employing millions of assisting angels that starts with one verse, as we quoted a moment ago. After all the humbling and submitting and yielding to, if we want to put it in context, the five chapters are humbling ourselves. The five chapters or 5.5 chapters are humbling ourselves to say, yes, Lord, so that when you put me in this landing craft and I'm about to hit the beach, I'm not going to be destroyed. I'm going to take Normandy. I'm going to take Juneau. I'm going to take whatever beach I'm on. Where my ascent into this warfare is that I have prepared myself and I'm made ready by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Just some good stuff. All to the glory of God. After all the humbling and submitting or yielding to the first 5.5 chapters of the book of Ephesians, your ministry, my ministry, doesn't even start until these chapters are perfected in us. Until we really grasp these things and say, yes, Lord. Ephesians what? 10, and I'll quote it, read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the power of his might. Paul could have said it this way. Finally, after you have humbled yourself and submitted yourselves to the previous instructions in this book, now it's time to invade, or it's time to go to war. He could have said it that way. He could have said that. And then what happens? Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual. Do you know that devils, if you don't know and don't do, they will create atmospheres. They'll create atmospheres. An atmosphere, it's so wonderful. I walked in and the two elders that greeted me this morning were full of joy. And I was so glad. Have you ever walked into a place where there's an atmosphere and it can be among Christians and it's heaviness? The Bible says put on the garment of praise for the Spirit. Somebody said the Spirit's just, no, it's a literal spirit. It's not just an attitude. A spirit is there for the spirit of heaviness. I've walked into rooms and I thought, who died? Nobody died. But the Christians were like under a spirit of heaviness. The word tells us that with great joy they took over Jerusalem. They should come in here and say, these people are filled with joy. They're happy about going to heaven. They might be in incredible wars in their bodies, their finances. The devil might be saying, you're broke, your children are going to hell, but they are just so happy, and they're not idiots. They're just happy and full of the Holy Ghost. In the spirit of heaviness, you trade an attitude, or you trade that demonic spirit, because it'll come. And if you don't, this is why Ephesians 6:10 is so important. If you don't agree as husbands and wives to atmospheres in your home, they'll come in your home, they'll walk through the walls, they'll get around you. And you got to just agree and say, wait a minute. This answering each other the way we've been answering each other, it's got to go. The dreams that are not godly dreams that we don't like, it's got to go. Demon spirits, we just talk to you because you're a real thing. You got to go. And you got to talk to them. And you got to dismiss the, and they'll go. And you'll say, why? Man, it's great. Things, we had an attitude adjustment. No, you had a demonic adjustment and you made them leave. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, don't get quiet. Where's Callie Pearl? Thank you, Mavis. I love you so much. What kind of, let's get real investigative here. What kind of deep, hidden, spiritual, mysterious visions and angelic visitations does Paul describe in Ephesians that equip us for spiritual warfare? Okay, let's get into stuff here, because we're fixing to hit Normandy. We're fixing to take this region. We want to going up to the high. We're going up to the high places. All right now. Thank you, Nat. We're going to tear down. Okay, let's talk about, give me some instruction, Paul. 5.5 chapters. Give me some instruction. I'm ready to knock a devil on his, give me some instruction. Okay, here's some instruction. Here's part of it. Be therefore followers of God, dear children. And walk in love as Christ has also has loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication. Oh, wait a minute. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. There's my equipping for somewhere in my workout, somewhere in my PTs, I got to go through 6 or 5 3. I got to get 5 3 down in my PTs, my physical training, because when I get to 6 10, I'm not going to, if all fornication, covetousness, and uncleanliness, and oh my God, and he says this, you ought not even to have to talk about it. It shouldn't even be named. In other words, you group should be so far. You can talk this way to the unbeliever about, once you're born again, honeys and young men, you don't do this anymore. But to labor in saying to Christians, don't fornicate, he's going, oh my God. Oh my God, seriously? You're still telling the believers not to fornicate? He said, don't even let it be once named among you. In other words, why is it a discussionary thing? It's a discussionary thing because the height of the, it's been lowered, the bars in Christianity to be lowered so low that we've lowered it equal with the world, and so we talk like the world. And he's saying, oh my God, you guys ought to be so far beyond this in your PTs, in your physical training, your spiritual training, that by the time you get to 6'10", it's not even, you're not even talking about that. Thank you. Praise God. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. You want some more deep? Calleth into deep. And so let's get real deep into this. This is, okay, what equips me for some real deep takeover regions of demonic spirits so revival comes? Here we go. Verse 22 of 5, wives, submit yourselves unto your, and he put this in here for a reason, because he put it in another place, O-W-N, your own husband. Not to somebody else's husband, but to your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior. We read this family stuff as inconsequential, as like, that's some really good parental guidance to the children. That's some really good marriage counseling. This isn't marriage counseling. This isn't parental guidance. This is going towards 6:10. This is not salad. This is meat. This is what Christian character is. How you treat your wife and how she treats you gives you the ability to stand up and say, we're conquering a region. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, and you cannot even begin to imagine how deep this goes. When he says, husbands, love your wives. How much? To this extent, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If you can imagine Christ being mean to the church, being mean to you, to if you can imagine, there's no way to even imagine that. There's no way to imagine that Christ doesn't love his church and think about how to promote his church. He put his church above himself. His thoughts were always, I'm here as a servant, not to serve myself. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished, cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and his bones, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. I'm going to get off on a little tangent here because it'll be anointed. Families are best when they separate and they join. And that doesn't mean they can't live together. I'm against that. Sometimes, especially in this day and hour, families have to live together until they can do something different. But if this is to the men, but if your mama is not your wife, you're not sleeping with your mama. And you honor your mama, but you've separated from your mama. And he has no right to say, well, this is the way mama did it. She's a princess of her own home. And you honor her that way. And you honor your mama, because the word teaches us here. And it goes the same way with the women, with the men as well. I just thought I'd throw that in. You don't even have to tip me for that. That's just free right there. That's just. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And let's talk about, I laugh about this because the mystique is this, that let me go over to the trailer and talk to you children. He's talking to grown up children. I'm still my father's child. This is grown up. He's talking to at least those that are old enough to say he's speaking to them. He's not having the parents, no, interpret this and sit down with them and give them a nice little This is grown up children. All of us, this is how that we're to conduct ourselves under the authority of Christian parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He's directly talking to them. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Paul is not, as I said, doing marriage counseling or family counseling here. He's giving the very building blocks on how true Christian character prepares us for true spiritual warfare. He says the same thing and repeats this in Colossians, even with another emphasis. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. He says own again. He really wants that point got across, as fit in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives. And look what he puts in here. Be not bitter against them. In other words, you better not hold a grudge. Well, you did this 5 years ago or 6 years ago or 10 years ago or 6 months. Don't even say, get your gun and go. Don't tell a devil to go. According to 6:10, men, if you're holding any grudge against your wife, well, she did this. Don't bark at a devil when you're not ready to bark at him. He'll slap your mustache off. You You better make sure all grudges are out. Oh, Jesus. That's that washing the Amber saw. She said it didn't appear to be sin. No, it wasn't like fornication sin, but it was like, Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Listen to this. When there's fear, please listen to this. When there's fear in a home and a wife cannot communicate everything to her husband without fear of a dominating Napoleon demeanor response. I'm going to say that again because the devil keeps trying to interrupt it. When there is fear in a home and a wife cannot communicate everything to her husband without fear of a dominating Napoleon demeanor response, that man has not yet humbled himself to the measure that he is totally ready for spiritual warfare. Come get somebody. Every decision should be made on an equal basis. If you've got a godly woman, every decision, with the husband as the pastor of the home, making maybe the final joint, and it should be a joint decision, final decision, but every investment, every correction to the children, every business deal, every purchase, ministry assignments. If she's a woman of God, unless she's not born again, there needs to be a co-equal decision-making process. Because Paul said this, or Peter said this, he was talking about shepherds, and we are, us husbands, are the shepherd of the home, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. We're not supposed to lord in that sense of the word. Okay, so here's the husband's end. When a husband cannot share, okay, y'all ready for this? When a husband cannot share every thought, decision-making process, or correction without fear of an attitude that will be developed or bedroom privileges that will be revoked. That woman has not humbled herself ready for spiritual warfare. She can discount herself for spiritual warfare. Children, obeying your parents in the Lord is not when you're underage, but it's representing the teachings by which you were raised under. Every godly principle presented in the Christian home provides a standard for grown children to live past their departure. Now, this is where angels tremble and fear to trod. And I'm going to say it under the anointing. I'm not just going to say it. But listen. Sometimes ladies and young ladies dress in such ways that I know their mom and daddy did not teach them to dress that way. And when you have to take your eyes off a young lady because of the way that she is dressed, and I'm not talking about the world, you better keep your, if you watch the Super Bowl tonight, you better keep your channel changer close. You got to take your eyes off. You got to take your eyes off when you're at the beach or at the mall. You got to watch your eyes. But you should never have to watch your eyes at a Christian gathering because of the way a young lady is dressed that calls herself born again. There's something going on that's not right. And I know mamas and daddies didn't teach that, or there'd be something wrong with them. Can somebody help me? When fathers are too weak to speak the truth in love to their grown sons and daughters, they're in fear and have not yielded themselves totally to the humbling of the truth in Ephesians concerning the family. Oh, don't shout me down now. Hallelujah. There should be no fear in love. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If there's any fear in your life concerning anyone on the planet, there's still a necessity for the humbling that takes place for perfect love to cast out all fear. The end result of all this is power. It really is. It's power to take a nation. It's power to take a region. It's power to have families gather together and there to be life and love and happiness and prosperity. Hallelujah. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Hallelujah. Do you still possibly, on the chance, perhaps still love me? Let's all stand. Harry, if you will. Jesus. We've got just a few minutes. We're having church tonight. You'll get to see most of the Super Bowl if you... If I said I don't care, I'd be hypocritical because neither one of my teams are there. The Dolphins haven't been in the Super Bowl since, or haven't won one since I was 12. But the Sunday that they're in there, it'll be a wonderful time for family fellowship. I'll just be truthful with you. There's no, don't lie or don't try to hide something. We're going to worship God for just a moment. We've got 10 minutes. We've got 15 minutes. We don't have to stay the whole time. But as Harry leads us, I bow my knee. I can hear it. As many of you that would like, you don't have to physically bow. It's the bowing of the heart. But lead us in it, Harry, and as many of you that will, just come up here and stand with me in a consecration of your bodies. Hallelujah. Let's all stand before the Lord and let's spend these last 10 minutes. Yes, Jesus. But I promise you before God and the Holy Spirit, all the angels, that I love you more than words can say. I weep over you and I fast for you along with my own dying process. There's nothing that I won't do for you. I'll come to your aid any time of the day or night. But let's go on in and finish this. Support each other. Support Homer as his evangelistic work, whatever he's going to do. And let's get ready for Jim and Kathy and spend the week. Come as much as you can, unless you just can't for some reason. But I just bless you in Jesus' name. And hallelujah. Let's sing this one more time and you'll be blessed to go. Let's love each other and give ourselves for each other. Jesus. Sing it to him.